Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
American Redoubt, winding down this four-day Independence Day weekend. I hope you guys had a safe and blessed Independence Day and getting ready to get back to the real world tomorrow morning, or this morning if you are listening Monday morning to the downloaded version of the podcast. Welcome. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I am John Jacob Schmidt, your host, and it's an honor to be your host. Thank you guys for your prayers and your support, and just thank you for being out there and for listening faithfully. Now, over 8 years, Radio Free Redoubt has been live streaming and uploaded as a podcast, and of course also on our terrestrial stations out of Spokane, Washington, in the American Redoubt, where we air every Saturday from 9 to 9:30 until that changes. So, anyway, it's been good. I had a great 4th of July. It was probably one of the best I've had, and it was just a great experience. It was really good. I just didn't want it to be over with. But, you know, here we are. We got to move on because we've got other great things ahead, don't we? So, let's do that. But one of the things we have ahead is the news and commentary. The news and commentary, which is brought to you by the author Glenn Tate and the 299 Days book series about the collapse and the rebuilding here in America, focused on the inland Pacific Northwest, primarily Washington State around Olympia and Seattle, and then, of course, the rest of Washington State, as well as the story unfolds. It's a very, very good story and a lot of fun. So thanks, Glenn, for your continued support. You can go learn more about those 10 books that are out, including the audiobooks at 299days.com. And don't forget to check out their podcast. Glenn and Shelby Gallagher are on their Prepper 2.0 podcast. All right, in international news, Iran is raising their uranium enrichment beyond nuclear deal limits. That's not a big surprise. And, of course, that's also no surprise that they're warning that they will turn the Gulf into a sea of blood. This is nothing new, but I'm just stating nothing has changed in terms of, working toward peace or trying to get these guys to think like this. But you got to understand, the Iranians believe that to bring in their Messiah, their caliphate, to bring forth their Messiah, so to speak, they have to bring about world war, because that is what is going to bring him onto the scene. So there is no deterrent you're not going to persuade them. You're not going to negotiate this out of their psyche. It's how they're wired. It's how they're built. And in fact, they welcome it. They want it. So, you know, it's just a matter. Now they're enriching uranium. It's just a matter of time before, you know, somebody's going to have to go to blows with them. There's no way around it. But that's still brewing out there. Another article that came out. We've always been a huge proponent. I have been a huge proponent of online computer security and anonymity. On my journey over the last 7-8 years, learning about it, learning about the vulnerabilities, and learning about how we are exploited and our information is exploited, and how the network mapping takes place, of mapping the human terrain and our associations, and now using artificial intelligence for predictability models to determine where you're going to be, who you're going to be meeting, what you're going to be doing, when and where, and all of this, we're The more information we feed that machine, the more accurate it becomes. Now, some of you who maybe haven't studied history or are just short-sighted think, I've got nothing to hide, so I'm not worried about it, and I'm not afraid. But by the time you realize that, ooh, I probably should have maybe not flung all that stuff out there to be used by other people to track my movements and whereabouts and placing all those around me that I am associated with in harm's way, oh, oops, it's too late to take it back. So we are strong proponents of online security. Today, you cannot function effectively without using the internet. It's part of our lives. It's interwoven into our business. So how you want to do that? Now, there's lots of exploitation opportunities there for bad people. So there are tools, though, that can thwart those. And one of those tools are VPNs. I'm a strong supporter of using VPNs. The computer experts and online security experts that I have studied and read their work said, basically, if you don't use a VPN at the least, you're insane in today's day and age. Well, what is a VPN? It's a virtual private network. It's a service. There are some free services you want to stay away from, but there are many paid services as well. And they mask your IP. They hide your internet traffic. They encrypt your internet traffic, making it difficult to impossible to track your online activity and your internet connections and your associations and things like that. So I've always been a strong proponent of NordVPN. There are several good ones out there, but that's the one that in my research and those of others that I trust use NordVPN. Well, there's an article that just came out this week that several people sent to me saying the top VPNs secretly owned by Chinese firms. Well, you thought your information was safe. You thought it was encrypted, and now you got these Chinese-owned companies. Now, they're not saying these companies are doing anything bad, but the fact that they're owned by the Chinese raises suspicion. According to this article at ComputerWeekly.com, nearly a third of the top VPNs are secretly owned by Chinese companies, while other owners are based in countries with weak or no privacy laws, potentially putting users at risk. The security researchers warned almost 30% of the world's top virtual private network providers, according to this this article from VPN Pro, a research that they did revealed. This is VPN Pro doing research revealing this. It shows that the top 97 VPNs are run by just 23. Parent companies, many of which are based in countries with lax privacy laws. Now, six of these companies are based in China and collectively offer 29 VPN services, but in many cases, information on the parent company is hidden to consumers. Researchers at VPN Pro have pieced together ownership information through company listings, geolocation data, the CVs or curriculum vitae of employees, and other documentation. In some instances, ownership of different VPNs is split amongst a number of subsidiaries. For example, Chinese company Innovative Connecting, is the name of the company, owns three separate businesses that produce VPN apps, and they are Autumn Breeze 2018, Lemon Cove, and All Connected. Now, in total, Innovative Connecting produces 10 seemingly unconnected VPN products, this study shows. So you can read this article, but I looked for NordVPN, and they are not listed there anywhere as one of these companies that are owned by the Chinese. In fact, which is really interesting is, well, maybe suspicious, I don't really know who VPN Pro is. They seem like an objective third-party group that evaluates VPNs. But they have an article titled, Does NordVPN Work in China? You guys know there's been a huge pro-democracy uprising in China, speaking out against the totalitarian communist Chinese regime. So the Chinese government to stifle this is monitoring their internet activity. They've prevented them from being able to use VPNs so that they could track their internet activity and their communications that take place. But NordVPN is apparently, reportedly, one of the very few VPNs that do work in China because of the methods that they use. NordVPN is one of a select few VPNs that still work in China, according to this article by VPN Pro. Despite vigorous government efforts to block NordVPN, the service has remained resilient. Currently, it is one of the most consistent solutions for climbing over the Great Firewall of China. So it's still working. I still continue to look for information showing that, you know, could it be compromised? Are there chinks in our armor that we want to know about? You know, weaknesses where what we think were when we are thinking that we are safe and secure and private and anonymous on the internet, you know, is it true? So I'm always keeping my feelers out there. NordVPN did not come up on the radar. In fact, they responded to the question, does NordVPN work in China? And they're saying, yes, it's one of the few that does. So good news there. And if you don't have a VPN, I strongly recommend it. It's a very worthwhile investment. We have a link over there at radiofreeredoubt.com and amron.com on the right-hand side. Just click on NordVPN link, walk through the setup. It's an affiliate link there so that you can get set up and start operating safely on the internet today, tonight. In other news, we've been watching on the 4th of July, there was a, 7.1, I believe. There was a series, basically, they had a very large earthquake. And then the next day, another very large earthquake. But since then, I have an earthquake alert app. And it has been going off at least once a minute, sometimes several times per minute. There have been 3,000 tremors since the 4th of July. Now, most of those are aftershocks, but some of these, they are saying, are independent, their own separate earthquakes and not just aftershocks of the one that hit on July 4th. So substantial damage, but we were monitoring it very closely and considering even raising the AMCON level. But it appears that so far the telecommunications infrastructure is holding up. People are able to make cell phone calls. We've not had any reports of telecommunications being disrupted, where there wasn't some type of a way around it. So if landlines go out, then the cell phones still work and so on. But Governor Newsom did declare an emergency, and they're calling for additional earthquakes. Expect just as strong, if not stronger, in the coming weeks. So we'll continue to monitor that. Now, if you don't already know it, Amron has a status report that each individual member in the nationwide emergency communications network is encouraged to fill out at the onset of an emergency, a major disaster, and get ready to submit that so we can get a snapshot picture of the size and scope of a disaster in a grid down emergency. We'll be putting that to the test July 26th, 27th, and 28th when we run the simulated scenario based grid down, nationwide grid down emergency communications exercise. It's your weekend to practice your emergency bug in, bug out plan, fire up your radios, stay connected, and find the shortcomings in your communications plan. If you can't get any information, well, it's not because the information is not out there flowing through the airwaves. It's because you have not figured out how to pull it down out of the airwaves to stay informed. So those of you who do regularly practice and join the nets, or at least monitor and listen on your shortwave radios or ham radios, even if you're not licensed yet, you can still, you know, monitor and listen to stay informed. And so in that stat rep is a modified Mercalli score, intensity scale score, for you to report the intensity that you felt during an earthquake or a major explosion. And what that does is it helps the net control stations and other stations within Ameron determine they can even extrapolate the magnitude of an earthquake if you don't know even what it is, just by describing the level of intensity. And that combined with other reports coming from your area will help us understand, you know, how big, how far reaching the disaster is, and where help might need to be directed to. So I thought I'd throw that in there as a little side. In other news, from FoxNews.com, an ISIS plot was revealed where Westerners or English-speaking Muslims were part of an ISIS plot to infiltrate and exploit the border along our southern border along Mexico. A chilling confession from a captured ISIS fighter has shed light on how the terrorist group intended to exploit the vulnerabilities of the U.S. border with Mexico, using English speakers and Westerners to take advantage of smuggling routes and target financial institutions. They seized an ISIS fighter who apparently is reportedly repentant, Abu Henrique. He's a Canadian citizen, dual citizen with Trinidad. Said that he was sought out by the violent insurgency's leadership to attack the U.S. from a route starting in Central America, according to a study by the International Center for the Study of Violent Extremism and published in a Homeland Security Today article. Also, United Patriots of America put out just today. You guys saw the violence unfold. Yet another example of Antifa attacking people in the streets. This time it was a journalist, Andy Ngo, N-G-O, an Asian. There's a YouTube video of it. I'll put this in the highlights and resources posting, which you can link to that. But many of you have seen the carnage there and the violent street thugs who are communist revolutionary knuckle-dragging thugs, the arm of the communists in America, the violent arm, again, beat him senseless in the hospital, into the hospital. And as they're beating him, they're chanting, "No hate." Now, I'm going to talk about this in segment three, more about this. There's a great article that came out from Alex Barron at the Charles Carroll Society, and I'm going to go through that article. It talks about that very same thing, but how even leftist Republicans in Idaho, in the heart of the American Redoubt, are even defending Antifa. So Andy Ngo and the left expanded the definition of violence. Antifa has been attacking people in the streets. How come they have not been designated as domestic terrorists? Well, actually, they were. They were designated as domestic terrorists by the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI. But they do have a petition here that you can sign to demand an end to the madness. And they want Trump, President Trump, to label Antifa domestic terrorist organization. And I know that's already been done in other papers, but I'd like to see that go further. Absolutely. I should treat them just like ISIS or Al-Qaeda in our country. Communist revolutionaries. All right, let's see. Well, I already talked about T-Rex. That's coming up. Don't forget about that. Oh, except I do want to mention that we do have a new team app. It's the Ameron app, so that you can stay informed. When you fill that out, you use your Ameron code name if you have one. You do not need to put all of your personal information that they ask for. But if you do want to also receive email alerts as well as alerts on your mobile app, whenever there's changes to the AMCON level, different news and announcements and so on, you can actually go to Ameron.com And there was a posting there announcing the new team app. And there's the links there. There's also a link on the right-hand side of the website. Just look for the Amron logo with the team app, powered by team app. And you click on that, sign up for it. It's free. There are pop-up advertisements because it's free. The most people that have been reporting saying, you know, it's not intrusive at all. You just exit out of it and be on your way. And there's a couple folks that said that they didn't like the pop-ups, and so they don't want to use the app. But that's okay. If you do want to stay informed and abreast on the latest developments, AMCON level changes and quick announcements, then we invite you to use the new Amron Team app. And finally, rounding out the news section, we take you to our friends at RhinoPAC. That's RHINOPAC, Rhino Political Action Committee.org. And they are the Rhino Hunters of North Idaho. Rhino, looking out for leftist Republicans and calling them out. But they have the section on the website, Stark Raving Mad, if you can stomach it. I just pulled up a couple of the articles here. One titled African Caravans, and this was put out on July 1st. Out of Mexico, after learning of their fellow tribesmen's success in crashing America's southern border and of the welfare, free housing, free food, free medical care, and other free stuff available almost immediately upon arrival, thousands of Africans have fled the squalor, disease, and poverty of their homelands and joined the free stuff corridor that snakes from Colombia through Central America into the U.S. southern border. The Center for Immigration Studies reports as many as 35,000 Africans have joined the U.S.-bound migrant caravans. Panama-based journalist Chuck Holton reports they have some level of understanding of what a sanctuary city is. If we can get to one of those cities, they won't mess with us. They won't get us out. While it's not clear if these newly minted African Americans will qualify for reparations, it is clear that they will be a reliable source of votes for Democrats who seek a permanent majority in both houses of Congress. You can read the rest of that story at Stark Raving Mad at rhinopack.org. The next story they bring to us is what was posted June 30th out of Stockholm, Sweden. They're commenting on this story. Combat pay for teachers. Teachers are now being offered $1,000 per month bonuses to teach in any of Sweden's notorious no-go zones. No-go zones are primarily inhabited by Muslim immigrants who have congregated in areas, erected their mosques, and made them off-limits to quote-unquote unbelievers. Crime is rampant, and assaults, including rape and even murder, are common in these areas. Swedish journalist Joachim Lamotti claims threats, beatings, and stabbings now occur every day in Swedish schools, and it increases dramatically. At the same time, teachers are getting less power while authorities and politicians are completely paralyzed. Most school-age Muslim males spend many hours each week memorizing pages of the Muslim holy book Quran, yet a report last year showed that in Stockholm's primary Muslim suburb of Rinkeby, some grade schools saw nearly half of the pupils unqualified to enter high school. And it should also be noted that just by listening to this type of coverage or reading it, you could be labeled a Islamophobe. So there you have it. Now, last week, I covered a couple of I gave a list of alternatives to the social media, how we see the social media is taking a hard turn to the left, exploiting our information and in blocking those of us that are trying to organize events such as organizing patriots to go and stand in opposition to, say, drag queen reading hour at your local public library. And it's amazing how your post only reaches like 10 people. Even though you've got, you know, hundreds of followers and nobody seems to be getting it and your story just seems to be buried. All your activity and who you're trying to reach gets buried. This is called shadow banning. well, there's alternatives, and I gave some of those alternatives. Well, a listener sent in a couple of other recommendations. One is for watching videos. It's called full30.com. Many prominent gun and prepper folks are there, including Scooch, Hickok 45, and Liberty Doll. Maybe this is where you could put an RFR Amron video channel. Well, we're looking into that. Thank you for the recommendation. And secondly, shopping and organizations. There is a website called secondvote.com. That's 2ndvote.com, secondvote.com. It rates businesses and organizations based upon their positions on political and social issues. It allows patriots to assess companies with which they would like to do business. There you go. Now, normally we would air a Alerts Weekly summary, about 90-second teaser, but they do not have this week's intelligence summary posted yet, so I was not able to pull that down and share that with you. But keep an eye on Alerts USA, and you should be able to see that. I know many of you guys are subscribers. If you're not and you would like to learn how, you can just click on the Alerts USA banner there at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com on the right-hand side, and become a subscriber today. We'll be back with segment two. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. Don't go away. Hi, I want to take a moment to let you all know about a great offer that will put up-to-the-minute intelligence and breaking news in your hands, often minutes or hours before you'll hear about it on the news or anywhere else. The director of Alerts USA and the editor of the Threat Journal, Steve Oxtokolnis, is offering a discounted subscription to all of you as listeners of Radio Free Redoubt and members of Amron. The Alerts USA subscription is normally $99 a year, but if you click on the Alerts USA banner at RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com, that will take you through to a page where you can subscribe for just $75. Whether it's a natural disaster, active shooter, terrorist attack, or other rapidly developing security or emergency situation, you'll be among the first to know. Information is king, but accurate and timely information is priceless. I not only use Alerts USA, I count on it. However, if you're not able to pay for a subscription at this time, then you can still sign up for the free Threat Journal email subscription to get weekly intelligence briefs and stay in the know on what occurred in the previous days. Again, go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com or Amron.com and click on the Alerts USA banner.
Very specifically, we have to ask ourselves and answer a question, every individual. Are we a loyalist or are we a patriot? Are we God-fearing, freedom-loving, self-reliant Americans? Or are we government-dependent, constitution-ignoring socialists? That is the question we all have to answer. And I appreciate Radio Free Redoubt because they've been answering that question quite well to many people in this area for a long, long time.
This is segment two of Radio Free Redoubt. Segment two is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots just like you get strategically relocated to the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho. If that's where you're looking, then check out SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com today. All right, and also there's some good information out there. Don't forget to check out socialismtoday.info, keeping up with the latest examples and documenting the spread and the rise of socialism in America. For your situational awareness, check them out, socialismtoday.info. Okay, now I've got something here that a listener and an Amron Core operator, both one and the same person, who I met in Puget Sound at the Puget Sound Preparedness Expo that Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher put on. Well, this guy, he's all excited. He's told me about a book that he's been working on. Now, you guys know how we've been really paying very close attention to the potential earthquake, the big one that scientists are saying is a matter of time before it hits. So we train to that scenario, and so does the government emergency response organizations in Washington State and Oregon states. And they do a lot of their training based on this earthquake scenario, with the earthquake with what they call the Cascadia Subduction Zone. And they did a scenario-based exercise a couple of years ago. They're going to be doing it again coming up in the next – I don't have the dates in front of me, but we're going to be watching that very closely. And the name of the exercise is called Cascadia Rising. Now, here – he has ventured out and wrote his, well, I believe is his first novel. It's going to be a 3-part series, and it's called Cascadia Fallen. So the first book is titled Tahoma's Hammer. And this follows a group of people, and I started reading it and just kind of flipping through it real quick. And I'm actually excited about this. This is... We're always looking for more examples of prepper type of books and little things that we can learn and, of course, entertain ourselves with at the same time. So well done. And so I'm really looking forward to getting into it. But just let me just read this. Tahoma, the native tribal name for Mount Rainier, wakes up after a devastating 9.0 earthquake shatters the Pacific Northwest. Entire counties are covered in mud, rock, and earth. Landslides and tsunamis add to the annihilation. Power and internet are knocked out to the entire American West. Hundreds of thousands die on the first day of the New World. Slaughter County shooting range manager Phil Walker knows things will never be the same. The former Marine is no stranger to tragedy. Having lost his wife to cancer and his leg to a firefight, Phil establishes a secure camp for his family and friends. Meanwhile, Phil's son Crane and Captain Marie Darnell fight to stop a disaster at a nearby shipyard. The catastrophe has unleashed a nuclear nightmare inside a submarine. So, and then this part's covered up. But anyway, I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to getting into this. So I told him I would absolutely be happy to help out a fellow listener and Amron Core operator that's got his first novel out there, and it's called Cascadia Fallen is the name of the series, and the first one's called Tahoma's Hammer. Now, the day that it's going to be released is the 9th, August 9th. So we got enough time. I'm going to see what we can do about getting him on to talk about the book and how it all came about. But August 9th is the release date, and he'll be in Squim at the Joe... D'Amico's Unity of Effort event in Squim on the 10th of August. And also he's going to have a table at the Panhandle Prep Expo, and we'll be there as well. Last year it was a great event. So anyway, I thought I'd throw that out there. Cascadia Fallen, Book 1, Tahoma's Hammer. And I'm trying to get through that before the release date, but we got a lot to do to get ready for T-Rex. I'm behind, and we've got some catching up to do. So anyway, there are a couple of events coming up this coming weekend that I want to put out there to you guys. If you are in the area, I want to strongly encourage you to attend one or both of these. There is a speaking event Friday night, July 12th. And it is going to, it's $10 at Covenant Church. We'll post the information in the highlights and resources posting. Be checking our Facebook page and our Liberty Rush page as well. I'll be putting that, I'm on Liberty Rush. I don't do a lot of social media stuff, but we're dumping Facebook and we are on Liberty Rush now, as many of you are. And it's very much just like Facebook, but we'll be posting these events. I'll be posting on my Facebook page, John Jacob Schmidt. At Liberty Rush. But this is super important here. It is about the, well, it's titled Rescuing Our Children and Our Nation. Now, Saturday the 13th, there is an event that you can go to, evensi.us, evensi, to get the tickets. Rescuing Children Educational Seminar, Covenant Church, Spokane Campus. It's July 13th from 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. with a bunch of speakers there. And let me just read you the title. There is a battle for our children. The rights of parents and the integrity of the family have been eroded away through government involvement in our education, healthcare, even religious rights. And together we say no more. Come listen to an incredible lineup of speakers that will teach us the why and the how. All of this is happening, and what we as citizens can do to spark a change in our communities. Of course, you know we need it, and in our state governments. Embracing every level of involvement, attendees will leave this event feeling educated, empowered, and motivated to be the change we want to see for our futures. Speakers include Alex Newman. Of course, Alex Newman's the keynote speaker for the night before, Friday night. Alex Newman of the New American Magazine. Glenn Morgan, many of you know him, of We the Governed and Citizens Alliance for Property Rights. Heather Scott, Idaho State Representative. Greg Pruitt of Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Caleb Collier of the John Birch Society. Rob Chase, former Spokane County Treasurer. Jacqueline Gallion of Informed Choice Washington. So a lot of great speakers there lined up, and I'm told there's others that didn't get printed here, but that will be there. So that the doors will open at 9 a.m. Seating will be first come, first serve, so arrive early. Tickets include a meal option for a delicious lunch catered by the amazing Trezzi Farm and Winery. Those folks are great, and they're patriots. There will be an hour lunch break for tickets purchased without a meal to get lunch on your own at nearby restaurants. So we're past the July 6th point, so there's no refunds after July 6th. But the tickets sold at the door would be $35 cash. It's you can save yourself some money by getting them ahead of time. So really important. It's going on right here in a lot of your listeners in Spokane or Coeur d'Alene, North Idaho, within driving distance for you to be able to be there and support that. Now, President Trump gave an amazing speech on the 4th of July. He highlighted American exceptionalism. And I want to talk about American exceptionalism, but I want him to start it off. I want to just share with you just a few minutes. Actually, you know what? No, I'm going to take a break afterward. Or I'm going to have the President Trump, a portion of his speech that he gave on the 4th of July, to take us into the break when the time comes here in just a few moments. I want to read to you something first. It's titled American Exceptionalism. What is American Exceptionalism? There's actually a website that is titled AmericanExceptionalism.org. It's American-Exceptionalism.org. And they explain what American exceptionalism is. And so I want to share it with you, and we'll put the link in the highlights and resources posting. You can go there right now if you want. You follow along. Go to American-Exceptionalism.org. Click on the tab, What is American Exceptionalism? And this is what they have to say. American exceptionalism is the idea that the United States of America is unique among the nations of the world, and that it was founded on the principles of individual liberty, private property rights, and equal justice for all. Because it is unique, the United States has a special role in the world and in human history. Now, I would say, furthermore, this is John Jacob Schmidt speaking here, and of course, your name is my name too. I believe what really makes America exceptional is that it was a Christian nation founded by Christian men who leaned heavily on the Word of God in their education and in the forming of their ideas, their policies, the documents that they wrote. That's what I believe. But I think all these other things, individual liberty, private property rights, equal justice for all, are biblical principles. America is a country uniquely founded upon a successful idea rather than and ethnicity, religion, borders, tribal identity, or other such traits. In a letter to the Hebrew congregation of Newport, Rhode Island on September 9, 1790, George Washington expressed eloquently what made the new nation he led the most exceptional nation in the history of human existence. Quote, The citizens of the United States of America have the right to applaud themselves for having given to mankind examples of an enlarged and liberal policy worthy of imitation. All possess alike liberty of conscience, and immunities of citizenship. It is now no more that toleration is spoken of as if it were the indulgence of one class of people that another enjoyed the exercise of their inherent natural rights, for happily the government of the United States, which gives to bigotry no sanction, to persecution no assistance, requires only that they who live under its protection should demean themselves as good citizens in giving it on all occasions their effectual support. Close quote. The values of the United States founding were always about aspirations, not claims of national perfection. Through freedom, this nation aspired to foster greatness among its people. As an honest look at American history shows, our founders and their successors succeeded admirably in creating a nation in which individual freedom set the stage for unprecedented levels of human accomplishment. Other nations began to adopt some of our principles, and they benefited accordingly. Importantly, our founders understood that greatness and exceptionality come from the people, not the government. And government can foster goodness only by protecting individuals from aggression by others. As the nation's founders recognized was likely to occur, governments at all levels in the United States have made countless unwise and indecent decisions imposing great injustices, such as chattel slavery, indentured servitude, mistreatment of native populations, forced segregation, suffrage limitations, cronyism, and the like. These were not the actions of free people, however, but of governments, which are always subject to corruption, just as our nation's founders and Constitution acknowledged and did their best to prepare for. Unfortunately, beginning early in the 20th century, many thinkers from other nations and within the United States began to characterize America and its traditional values as an impediment to progress and human thriving. That was the very opposite of the truth, but it made its way into the American psyche through a concerted effort by propagandists such as followers of Antonio Gramsci, progressive politicians and writers of the early 20th century, educator John Dewey, Frankfurt School, the New Left, and teacher and writer Howard Zinn, whose A People's History of the United States has been hugely influential in the past 4+ decades in synthesizing these other writers' thinking into a characterization of the United States as uniquely corrupt and evil throughout its history. Zinn and those others took what has always been less than perfect in the United States, our governments, and characterized government's failings as the essence of American history. These polemicists ignored or denigrated the principles of the nation's founding, which were aspirations, not an expectation of perfection, as the latter is never to be fully achieved because of the limitations of human nature. The principles on which the United States was founded still stand and are still noble. The idea of American exceptionalism is a tradition of which we should be proud. It points the way toward national greatness, the greatness of a people despite the imperfections and limitations of government.
As we gather this evening in the joy of freedom, we remember that all share a truly extraordinary heritage. Together, we are part of one of the greatest stories ever told, the story of America. It is the epic tale of a great nation whose people have risked everything for what they know is right and what they know is true. It is the chronicle of brave citizens who never give up on the dream of a better and brighter future. And it is the saga of 13 separate colonies that united to form the most just and virtuous republic ever conceived. On this day, 243 years ago, our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to declare independence and defend our God-given rights. Thomas Jefferson wrote the words that forever changed the course of humanity. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. With a single sheet of parchment and 56 signatures, America began the greatest political journey in human history. But on that day, the patriots who would determine the ultimate success of the struggle were 100 miles away in New York. There, the Continental Army prepared to make its stand, commanded by the beloved General George Washington. As the delegates debated the Declaration in Philadelphia, Washington's army watched from Manhattan as a massive British invading fleet loomed dangerously across New York Harbor. The British had come to crush the Revolution in its infancy. Washington's message to his troops laid bare the stakes. He wrote, "The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage and conduct of this army. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die." Days later, General Washington ordered the declaration read aloud to the troops. The assembled soldiers just joined an excited crowd running down Broadway. They toppled the statue of King George and melted it into bullets for battle. The faraway king would soon learn a timeless lesson about the people of this majestic land. Americans love our freedom, and no one will ever take it away from us.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more. This is segment three at Radio Free Redoubt, radiofreeredoubt.com. And my email address is johnjacob@radiofreeredoubt.com. Always great to hear from you guys. Constructive feedback and input, and appreciate your support. And thank you guys for your prayers. Hey, this segment is brought to you by our friends at Strategic Landscape Design, designs to keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property. Whether you already own property and you would like somebody to give you a professional, some professional guidance on setting that up for sustainability, not like the globalist version of sustainability, but with defense, food production, water rights, all of the stuff. If you want to get the most out of your land, especially a preparedness retreat or just your day-to-day property, then you want some help, get a hold of Strategic Landscape Design at strategiclandscapedesign.com. And also, if you're looking for property and you want some help trying to make the right decision for, you know, to make sure it's going to meet all of your needs, then that's great. And they also offer their services outside the American Redoubt. So no matter where you are, they can help you with that. But I want to share to you, with you something that I think is, well, it is foundational to what it makes America exceptional. I'm grateful for Redoubt News for posting this, the full text of the Declaration of Independence. And so I want to read it to you. In Congress, July 4th, 1776, the unanimous declaration of the 13 United States of America. When in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitled them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of those ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence, indeed, will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And, accordingly, all experience hath shewn that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty, to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present King of Great Britain is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. To prove this, let facts be submitted to a candid world. He has refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for the public good. He has forbidden his governors to pass laws of immediate and pressing importance, unless suspended in their operation till his assent should be obtained. And when so suspended, he has utterly neglected to attend to them. He has refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people, unless those people would relinquish the right of representation in the legislature, a right inestimable to them and formidable to tyrants only. He has called together legislative bodies at places unusual, uncomfortable, and distant from the depository of their public records, for the sole purpose of fatiguing them into compliance with his measures. He has dissolved representative houses repeatedly for opposing, with manly firmness, his invasions on the rights of the people. He has refused for a long time after such disillusions to cause others to be elected, whereby the legislative powers, incapable of annihilation, have returned to the people at large for their exercise, the state remaining in the meantime exposed to all the dangers of invasion from without and convulsions from within. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws for naturalization of foreigners, refusing to pass others to encourage their migrations hither, and raising the conditions of new appropriations of lands. He has obstructed the administration of justice by refusing his assent to laws for establishing judiciary powers. He has made judges dependent on his will alone for the tenure of their offices and the amount and payment of their salaries. He has erected a multitude of new offices and sent hither swarms of officers to harass our people and eat out their substance. He has kept among us in times of peace without the consent of our legislatures. He has affected to render the military independent of and superior to the civil power. he has combined with others to subject us to a jurisdiction foreign to our Constitution and unacknowledged by our laws, giving his assent to their acts of pretended legislation, for quartering large bodies of armed troops among us, for protecting them by a mock trial from punishment for any murders which they should commit on the inhabitants of these states, for cutting off our trade with all parts of the world, for imposing taxes on us without our consent, for depriving us in many cases of the benefit of trial by jury, for transporting us beyond seas to be tried for pretended offenses, for abolishing the free system of English laws in a neighboring province, establishing therein an arbitrary government and enlarging its boundaries so as to render it at once an example and fit instrument for introducing the same absolute rule into these colonies, for taking away our charters, abolishing our most valuable laws, and altering fundamentally the forms of our governments, for suspending our own legislatures and declaring themselves invested with power to legislate for us in all cases whatsoever. He has abdicated government here by declaring us out of his protection and waging war against us. He has plundered our seas, ravaged our coasts, burnt our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people. He is, at this time, transporting large armies of foreign mercenaries to complete the works of death, desolation, and tyranny, already begun with circumstances of cruelty and perfidy, scarcely paralleled in the most barbarous ages, and totally unworthy the head of a civilized nation. He has constrained our fellow citizens taken captive on the high seas to bear arms against their country, to become the executioners of their friends and brethren, or to fall themselves by their hands. He has excited domestic insurrections among us, and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an indistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which may define a tyrant is unfit to be the ruler of a free people. Nor have we been wanting in attentions to our British brethren. We have warned them, from time to time, of attempts by their legislature to extend an unwarrantable jurisdiction over us. We have reminded them of the circumstances of our emigration and settlement here. We have appealed to their native justice and magnanimity, and we have conjured them, by the ties of our common kindred, to disavow these usurpations, which would inevitably interrupt our connections and correspondence. They, too, have been deaf to the voice of justice and of consanguinity, and hold them, as we hold the rest of mankind, enemies in war, in peace, friends. We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress, assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these united colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have full power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor.
Benjamin Franklin said, "A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins." Those words are so full of wisdom. Unfortunately, to today's anti-American left, black is white and white is black. Up is down and down is up. I am informed and I know and prize my rights. Sadly, to today's socialist elite, quote, well-informed means that you see things their way. I find it interesting that the globalist elitists of today attempt to coerce the masses, and especially the dissenters, by using control buzzwords like ignorance. If you oppose them, you are ignorant. And no one wants to be called ignorant. The implication is that they are enlightened and you are not, which makes you want to fall in line and be like them. If Mr. Franklin were alive today, he would be considered ignorant by the so-called elite. Of course, he would rebut that they are tyrants, and I would stand with Mr. Franklin. I'm Violette Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clanking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come! I repeat it, sir, let it come! It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God! I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death!
This is Radio Free Redoubt, segment four, the fourth and final segment of episode 1925. This is the 25th podcast of 2019. Segment four is brought to you by Works Holsters. That's W-E-R-K-Z, Works LLC. They make the custom Kydex holsters and magazine carriers made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee on all their products. And they also carry the Liberty State line of flag or state seal, your choice. And proceeds from those sales go to support Liberty State. Check them out at works.com, W-E-R-K-Z.com. Okay, let's see. Where are we at? I was looking at this. Facebook. Okay, good. I gave you some alternatives in a previous segment, so that's good. So let me skip right past that. The Charles Carroll Society. By the way, if you guys don't know, the CharlesCarrollSociety.com is a blog that's ran by Alex Barron. He's a Redoubter. A friend of mine moved up from California. He's very involved politically, and he cares about liberty and freedom and our heritage from a Christian perspective. And he is a Catholic. And so I interviewed him when he first started this up, you know, where the Charles Carroll Society, with that, where that all came from. Charles Carroll was one of the signers of the Declaration of Independence. Did you guys know that? Well, Charles Carroll is also the only Catholic to sign the Declaration of Independence. So Alex Barron started up the Charles Carroll Society as the Bard of the American Redoubt to extend the invitation also to his Catholic patriot friends to make the move to be around like-minded, liberty-loving, God-fearing people. So that's how all that came about. Well, he does, he's doing a lot of stuff on local politics, and he's doing a really good job. And he's been covering some stuff, shared with you guys a little bit about the American Redoubt versus Antifa. And he sees through the lies like most of you guys do as well, as far as the propaganda, the yellow journalism, the cheap shots, the advancement of the increasingly militant left, how it's even trying to encroach into the free zones, which, well, they want to make those dominoes start to fall, right? So they're going to go after the most conservative areas and try to undermine those. Well, that's what they're doing, but We are on the watchtower. We are calling them out for what they are. Well, he's done a good job with this. And this last Monday, he posted an article I want to share with you guys, and we'll close out the show with this. Conservatives, quote-unquote conservatives, defend far-left violent Antifa. Hashtag IDPOL, IDLEG, and IDGOP. But this is also something that Rhino Pack does too. They're also sniffing out these people that call themselves conservatives or Republicans. And they're calling them out, rhinos. Well, so let me share this with you. You guys are already familiar with the Andy Ngo, who was beat up, the journalist, conservative journalist, beat up by Antifa. And as they're beating him, they're yelling, "No hate," right? So recently, Andy Ngo, a conservative-leaning journalist, was savagely attacked by Antifa, which is communist black shirts, in Portland, Oregon. While Andy Ngo is more conservative, he is also a homosexual Asian. I did not know this. This has become major news. The video of this attack has gone viral, and Andy Ngo has raised over $100,000 for his security and medical bills. Several liberal journalists have celebrated the savage attack by Antifa, and Anna Slatz wrote a recent piece titled "Progressivist Blue Check Journalists Celebrate the Assault of Andy Ngo." Oh, they call it a blue check, huh? A blue check is when you beat up a conservative. Middle East Eyes C.J. Werlemann implied gay Asian Ngo deserved the attack because he participated in white supremacist instigated violence. This is, of course, a lie. But the far-left anti-Trump mainstream media is not the only group excusing the violence of Antifa. In a recent hit piece written by arch-liberal Idaho compromising conservatives, hashtag Never Trump, Jennifer Ellis, and allegedly her silent partner Gregory Graff, said the following, quote, "Sorry, Regan, you signed the response where you defended the actions of the Kootenai County Republican Constitution Central Committee, and went so far as to accuse Democratic groups in Idaho of doxing, intimidating employers, preventing the exercise of free speech, and many other horrible things." Let me get this right. Never Trump, Idaho compromising conservatives, Jennifer Ellis, and her alleged backer, Gregory Graff, are attacking Idaho Republicans and defending anti-Trump Democratic groups in Idaho? Well, what did Brent Regan say about those Democratic groups in Idaho? This is what he says. Quote, "To be absolutely clear, the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee condemns all forms of racism and bigotry. The Kootenai County Republican Central Committee also condemns all forms of political violence and intimidation practiced by groups like Antifa, Is an Indivisible, and Reclaim Idaho, including publishing personal information or doxing, intimidating employers, preventing the exercise of free speech, violent protests, property destruction, and physical assault." Close quote. Signed by the Kootenai County Republican Central Committee. Indivisible, including Indivisible Idaho, is a national anti-Trump movement that often targets members of Congress and calls for resistance against the Trump administration. Indivisible is supported by Hillary Clinton and her organization, Onward Together. It has teamed up with Town Hall Project, a group that wreaks havoc at GOP town hall forums across America. Town Hall Project was launched by former Hillary Clinton campaign staffer Jimmy Dahman, and has close ties to MoveOn.org. See, all these groups are tied together. And Indivisible may get much of its funding through dark money transactions handled through a third-party leftist organization, the Tides Foundation. In 2016, three leftist donor networks, the Solidaire Network, the Threshold Foundation, and the Women Donors Network, joined forces to launch the Emergent Fund. In April, the Washington Free Beacon reported that the fund had already raised more than $500,000 to fund groups that oppose Republicans like the Black Lives Matter Network, which is also strong ties to communism. Fox News reported, on its website, Indivisible advises potential donors that they can make a large gift tax deductible if they go through an intermediary group called the Tides Foundation. The foundation funnels more than $100 million a year to left-wing advocacy groups. Liberal billionaire George Soros' Open Society Foundations is one of the many groups that gives money to projects through the Tides Foundation. Though there's no evidence his group supports Indivisible in particular. Of course, if you support Indivisible, that's where your money is going. Now I'm going to cover, I'm going to go into something else, but you can't see it. I want to describe this Antifa action. It's got the Antifa flag. It says anti-fascist action on an Idaho Indivisible Twitter site or Antifa Twitter site. There's a picture of, it looks like an Asian woman, maybe Filipino, with a black eye and a bruised face. She's obviously been beaten up. And it just shows only half of her face. Remember, this was posted on Antifa Idaho Twitter page. And this is the caption. She might be brown, but she supports Trump and white nationalists. If you know a Nazi, then grab a brick and hashtag resist. This is what we're up against. And then they act like victims when conservatives say, if they try that in my town, I'm going to fight back. When somebody says, I'm going to smash a communist face, then they act like victims. But see, we're not smashing anybody. But they are. And they even post this. They post, this is not a private conversation about what they wish they could do to a conservative. They're publicly calling for violence, and these are marching orders. There's a picture of a woman with her face battered. We'll post this. We'll post this. Post this on Facebook. Oh, I mean Liberty Rush. To heck with Facebook. But it says she might be brown, but she supports Trump and white nationalists. If you know a Nazi, then grab a brick and resist. That's their rhetoric. And here's a note which reminded me of something that a listener sent to me in Seattle. This is a poster hung up on a taped or pinned, plastered, glued to a telephone pole. It's black and white, 8.5 by 11, printed out, and this is what it says. When you date a white, it's not all right. Propagation of whites is propagation of hatred, oppression, homophobia, sexism, transphobia, racism, and ableism. This will not be tolerated. You have been warned. And then underneath it, in big block letters, Emerald City Antifa. But they're hypocrites, and they're duplicitous. Even with this, they said, if you date a white, it's not all right. And then underneath there, they say, because of racism. They're racist. I mean, these are racist statements that they're making in their calls for violence. But they're justifying it because they're fighting racism, which is really interesting because they're using racist rhetoric to advance their message. And what else is really interesting to note is that most of Antifa are middle-aged white kids, college-age kids, the overwhelming majority of them. So they're just straight up communists using communist jargon to advance their cause. So let me get back to the rest of this article, and we're almost done. Hang in there. So Antifa is short for anti-fascists, the article continues on. It is an Orwellian term, as they are actually communist black shirts. Antifa are an international communist and anarchist organization. They are communist street thugs and the shock troops of the far left and the Democratic Party. It's not a Democratic Party. They're Democrat Party. There's nothing democratic about them. It's just sheer mob rule. They have violently attacked, savaged, and doxed or revealed the private information of numerous people, including Tucker Carlson of Fox News. Twitter has banned people for merely noting that many far-left journalists have connections to Antifa. And wasn't that interesting? That was about the brown woman being a Nazi, grab a brick and resist. That was on their Twitter page. Antifa has violently attacked conservatives multiple times, including attacking or harassing racial minorities for daring to be Republicans or conservatives. These are the Democratic organizations that Idaho Compromising Conservatives is defending. Antifa is a black-clad, bandana, and helmet-wearing group of self-described anarchists and revolutionary communists known for violence and threats. The name Antifa is short for anti-fascists. They've become a regular presence at anti-Trump rallies across the U.S. that often turn violent. Antifa is basically a network of many leftist groups that organize online and take a militant approach at rallies and protests. Antifa claims that it has no official leaders, spokespeople, or even members. Typically, a leftist Antifa activist will be a member of several groups on this list, organizing and networking alongside the other groups. And thus, the Democratic groups in Idaho that Never Trump Jennifer Ellis, her alleged backer Gregory Graff, and the rest of the liberal Republican cabal at Idaho Compromising Conservative site are defending are violent self-described anarchists and revolutionary communists and militant anti-Trump activists funded by Soros, who publicly call for the doxing, harassment, and physical attacking of anyone they consider dangerous, including most Republicans. On their public media sites, these far-left groups advocate for physically attacking conservatives, including those who are racial minorities, and resisting, and while they're yelling, stop the hate and stop the racism, they're beating racial minorities. And resisting Republican President Trump in all things. The fraudulent, arch-liberal, Idaho-compromising conservatives are incrementally compromising Idahoans' liberty to the far left. This has been, this site, he says, has been attacked by federal agencies, candidates for governor, and multiple progressive outlets. Progressivism seems to hate any black conservative who walks off the liberal woke plantation. Oh, by the way, Alex Barron is black. Social media internet ghettos have greatly diminished distribution of our content. This is called shadow banning. Please take a moment and consider sharing this article with your friends and family. Well, I just shared it with the whole listening audience. This is really interesting stuff. We need to be paying attention to this stuff. It's easy to get distracted, and nobody else is talking about this stuff that's going on. So there you have it. Anyway, guys, that is a wrap for this week. I hope you guys have a blessed week this coming week. Get ready for T-Rex. Get your comms up. Participate in the nets that are scheduled to take place this week. You can start practicing and hammering that stuff out. And be watching Amron.com. T-Rex related information on how to participate, what to do, what to expect is all going to start coming up in pretty rapid succession. So stay tuned and get the team app if you want. Don't forget, you don't have to put your personal information in there. We recommend that you don't. And just put your Amron code name in there if you have one. If you don't, join up today. All right, guys, this is John Jacob Schmidt, and you've been listening to the voice of the American Redoubt. Blessings on you all. Good night.